Recordings have now started.
Great. Thank you so much again. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all, and welcome to the sub-team for additional marketplace RPMs call on the 4th of August. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken via the Adobe Connect form. So if you're only on the audio bridge today, would you please let yourself know now? Hearing no names. As a reminder to everyone, please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I will turn the meeting back over to Paul McGrady.
Thank you. Michelle, good morning, everybody. First of all, I think, Michelle, for these sub-team calls, am I supposed to ask for statement of interest changes, or is that just for the main call?
Paul, this is Kathy. I think it's just for the main call.
Oh, good. All right. So I won't do that. I didn't do it last week. I think we got in trouble, so that must have been that. Kathy, since you're here, we were hoping to have, and I was not able to attend the main working group call this week due to the odd hour, but is there any news from the main working group on the overarching issue that we've discussed, namely, is this group to be a fact-gathering group in relationship to the additional marketplace protections, which information we take back to the main group, or someone had suggested that this group should be doing substantive evaluations on these additional marketplace protections. And that question was going to go to the co-chairs of the RPM working group and then presumably to the working group itself. Was that discussed on the last call?
Paul, due to a conflict, I was not on the last call either. But what's happened here, and Phil, you know, feel free to jump in, there has not been a co-chair's call since the sub-team escalated that question up to the co-chairs. There hasn't been a co-chair's call of all the co-chairs because of vacation schedules and travel and other things. So I believe the question will be presented by staff at the next co-chair's call, and it's unclear when that will be taking place, and then probably over to the working group. So it sounds like the sub-team may need to leave both options open for the moment. Sorry about that, but thanks.
Yeah, no problem. I understand that these things take time. What we've been doing instead of leaving both options open is that we've just been proceeding under the paradigm that we are an information gathering group. That's what I thought we were when we were empaneled, if that's a word. But with the caveat that if it turns out that we have a different mission that we didn't know about, then we would have to go back and redo some of this work. Hopefully, we can get some direction on that relatively soon. Just because you hate to spend time working through all these questions and then have to backtrack on that. But we will keep that placeholder open. Okay.
What you say is very fair. And apologies that this is all taking place in August. So thanks.
Yeah, no, Kathy, I totally understand. If it could be done more quickly, I'm sure that the three of you would, but as you note, this is, summer holiday season, and also this is only one of many issues that the co-chairs and the working group more generally have to deal with. So we'll just forge ahead, and if we have to swing back around, then we will swing back around. All right. So with that out of the way, we have a revised question two. I've read it. I like it, except for one part. but let me read it and then open a queue on it, and then I will put myself at the end of the queue. So the revised question two now reads, are registry operators using the TMCH database and its features, such as relying on the TMCH as a third-party validator as a source of information, for additional marketplace protections? If so, how? Does the current adopted policy allow this use? Could registry operators provide the same or similar marketplace services without access to the Trademark Clearinghouse database? If so, would there be any increase in cost to brand owners? So this is the reformulated question too. A huge thank you to staff for capturing all this and giving us a a new question two to work with. I think we can finish this one off early in the call and hopefully even tackle question three, which would be terrific. I will open a queue for any comments on the revised question two, and I'll put myself at the end. All right. Well, seeing no hands, I will then be the first speaker on this. I like the way question two now reads. My only question is, the question, does the current adopted policy allow this use? Is that my only question there is that a question for the TMCH operator and or the contracted parties that have the additional marketplace protections? Or is that a question for the main working group to answer after we ask the rest of question two? It seems unlikely to me that the Trademark Clearinghouse operator or the contracted parties who offer additional marketplace protections are going to say that, you know, what they're doing is, you know, is excluded by adopted policy rather than, you know, allowed by adopted policy. So I don't know that I think it's a great question for the working group. I'm not sure it's a great question for who these questions are going to be going to. Does anybody have a reaction to that?
Paul, this is Mary.
Hi, Mary.
Hi, Paul. Hi, everyone. I apologize. I'm having trouble with Adobe, so I'm on audio only. So I'm happy to see to any other member if anyone has their hands up and go after them.
I don't have any hands up. There is a comment here from Rebecca in the chat. We might want to know what their justification is in those terms. So at least Rebecca is seeing some benefit in the question. I see benefit in the question, but my question was, are we directing it to the right party? Rebecca seems to think so. It's in the chat. But Mary, no one else's hands up. Can you go ahead?
Sure. Thanks, Paul, and thanks, Rebecca, and everyone. So we put in this question, in this rephrased question two, to address in part, I think, a comment that Kathy might have made a couple of weeks ago about what exactly is the scope of implementation that has been described and developed by the community and that's being implemented by the TMCH. So in answer to your questions, Paul, I think one of the answers is that this is something that the working group will have to look at, i.e. the scope of the existing framework and rules surrounding the TMCH in order to figure out if the uses that we're talking about in this question are within or outside that framework. And I note that we've tried to phrase this question and the other ones in a way to take account of the comments that folks have made, including by Jeff last week when he said when we use the word use, it's not always very clear. So we've tried to make it more neutral. And I don't know if we did a good job, but the idea was to address comments made by Kathy and others. Thanks, Paul.
Perfect. Thank you, Mary. Well, I see with Mary's comments and Rebecca's support for the question in the chat and nobody else raising their hands to be worried about that particular question. Before I declare us done with question two, Kurt Prince has raised his hand. Kurt, please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. My comment really goes, thinking we were done with that part of it, my question really goes to the very last part of that question. Would there be any increase in cost to brand owners? I think that should be, or that might be more generalized and not, you know, maybe not just brand owners, but cost to brand, you know, brand owners, registries, or maybe even registrants. And, you know, maybe it's not just cost, maybe it's other effects, you know, costs or whatever other effects there might be to brand owners or registries or, you know, anybody in the value chain. Maybe that's the better way to put it.
Thank you, Kurt. Kathy, your hand is up next. Please go ahead.
I just wanted to put in the placeholder that we still have the pending question of which question two, that there's been a dialogue. So it doesn't have to do with this because this is former question three, but just to raise my hand so that we can go back at some point to what may have been deleted and missing now from the materials of the original question two. Thanks.
Thanks, Kathy. Placeholder noted. Anyone have an objection to Kurt's intervention on the last question? If so, would there be any increase in, I'm not sure exactly how to capture it, any increase in costs or other, Kurt, maybe you could give us some language in the chat. I want to make sure that I'm being true to what you're saying, because as I look at costs, I don't necessarily just think about dollars. I think about timing costs and other things like that. To brand owners or registry operators, registrars, or others, as Chris says, in the value chain. Any objection to that concept? We can wordsmith, but want to make sure that we're going down the path that everybody's comfortable with. So anybody, I'll look for raised hands on Kurt's intervention. Okay, seeing none, that will take that as a people are in agreement with the idea. And Kurt has typed into the chat, cost to parties in the value chain, e.g. brand owners, registrars, registries, registrants. That seems lovely to me. And so if we could have staff make that change. All right, Jeff Newman, if you could raise – Jeff, your hand is raised. If you could go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'm rereading this question again, and we keep getting stuck on questions. But I'm not sure. And does the current adopted policy allow this use? What is the current adopted policy that we're referring to? Are we referring to the guidebook? Are we referring to the contract? Are we referring to the GNSO adopted consensus? Or I don't remember if it's consensus. The GNSO policy, can you just get that clarified? Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. I'll just clarify all that right up, because as we all know, all the various means that ICANN has to affect outcomes are all in one convenient location. Sure. So I guess, yeah, we should go back and define that. How do we define that? Do we want to say, does the current adopted guidebook allow for this? Does the current adopted guidebook and other consensus policies allow for this use? I'm not really sure. But Phil has his hands up, and so maybe Phil can get us out of this corner. Thanks, Phil. Please go ahead. Phil, I can't hear you, but I see in the chat you say, how about, is there...
Okay, can you hear me now?
Oh, there you go. Great. Phil, please.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, now.
Hello? Yeah, I'm strictly on Adobe today. It took me a little trouble to unmute my mic. I typed in some suggested language to focus that use of the data rather than calling for a judgment on whether or not it's allowed, just seek to identify whether there's language in the policy or relevant documents that either explicitly permits or prohibits such use. It may be that there's no language and it's just a gray area, but it doesn't speak to the issue Jeff raised, but I think that's when we look at this, we're going to have to look at the guidebook and maybe some other documents, the contract between ICANN and the clearinghouse provider. I think it's up to the group to decide what documents are relevant, but my suggestion was let's focus on the language rather than making a judgment about whether or not it's permitted. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. Mary says in the chat, at Paul, that is why I use the words and phrases scope, framework, and rules, so that we understand we're talking about the entirety of the TMCH was developed to do, instead of limiting to consensus policy, nothing specific for each RPM or AGB, which is implementation.
Oh,
All right. And Kurt puts into the chat what he thinks the policy is. New TLD should not infringe the rights of others, augmented by the Protection of Rights Working Group report plus the IRT SDI approved recommendations. Okay. How do we distill all that into a revised sub-question two? Jeff Newman, since you started this, do you have any way to get us across the finish line?
I'm just doing some, sorry, this is Jeff. I'm just doing some research as to what happened. So I know the STI issued a report. The report was voted on by the GNSO Council, and I'm just trying to figure out, I mean, the only consensus policy is what Kurt cited, but there were recommendations that were made by the STI group that were approved by the GNSO Council, and I'm trying to figure out exactly what happened after that point. Because I know Kathy cites the STI report as setting forth certain requirements or certain recommendations that GNSO had. But I don't know if that's, quote, policy in the terminology that we normally use. So I don't have anything at the moment, but I'm just trying to do some research while we're on. Thanks.
Okay. Well, why don't we do this? I think what Curtis put forward in the text is, as Mary noted, it's fairly elegant and accurate. Why don't we ask the staff to tinker with that sub-question using Kurt's formulation, and why don't we, for the sake of moving ahead, declare question two done except for that part, and then perhaps staff can come back with us next week, and we can finish off that sub-question. That way we don't get hung up on it, but I think there seems to be agreement that having more focus on that sub-question makes sense. So how does that sound? All right. Well, seeing no raised hands to say that sounds terrible, I will take that as acclamation. David McCauley says sounds fine. That's great. Thank you, David. I think we should ask staff to do that for us and see what they can come up with there. But I think using Kurt's framework makes sense to answer Jeff's question. And let's declare question two all but done, except for that sub-question. And let's move on now to question number three, which reads, what are each registry operator's rules for each type of private offering, noting that some new GTLD registry operators offer more than one version of a DPML service? And so I will open a queue on this question. I do note that I'm not sure what the phrase private offering means here, but I will put myself in the queue to ask that question unless someone asks it first. Any takers? Okay, Christine Durain, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Christine. I just wanted to say I think the private offering, that was what we were originally calling all of the additional protection mechanisms or the additional marketplace RPM. So probably any time we see the words private offering, we have to substitute in the new phrase that we agreed upon, which is additional marketplace RPMs. But to this point, I don't think that any of the registry operators' rules are hidden. I mean, I think if you're a brand owner and you want to participate there, you know, you go to the website and find it. So I don't know that this is sort of an esoteric or theoretical question as much as it's a data gathering exercise. So to the extent that in other working groups or sub-teams, we've had a column for here's where we could gather data, you know, one of the things we might be able to come back to the group with or post onto the wiki page is linked to where this information rests. Because I don't think this is a trick question. I think this is just data gathering exercise. Thanks.
Thank you, Christine. With that, is there an objection to asking the question? Or should the question be more, where are your operating rules? Where are your website so that we get links back?
Yeah, I don't have an objection to asking it as long as we post that we know the answer. That's sort of been what we've done all along, is to, you know, if we're going to ask kind of a rhetorical question, a question that we already know the answer to, then I'm a proponent of making sure that we post for the working group where the answer can be found. So we don't, you know, spend a lot of extraneous time, you know, diving into it when the answer is pretty apparent.
Thank you, Christine. Any other comments to this question? Okay, so far number three is my favorite question. Staff, if you could capture Christine's concept in revised question three for us to look at next week, I'd appreciate it. We will now move on to question number four. Look at us, we're just picking up speed. Question number four, how many registry operators extend the Trademark Clearinghouse service beyond the required 90 days, and what has their experience been in terms of exact matches generated beyond the mandatory period? Okay, I will open the queue on question number four. All right, Kathy, your hand is up. Please go ahead, Kathy.
Paul, am I right that this is a new question that's been added in? This is Kathy.
Thanks, Kathy. I believe it is, but can staff confirm that? Oh, I see Susan Payne's hands up. She might have an answer.
Okay. In that case, what I'd suggest is that it continue with the question that we've added in so many subteams, which is what are the upsides and what are the downsides, or another way of saying it, what are the advantages and what are the disadvantages? Because by extending the trademark claims period of beyond the mandatory, there's going to be advantages for some, probably disadvantages for others, and I would assume that would be part of our information gathering as well. Thanks.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Kathy. Well,
can I leap in?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. Susan, you're up next. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks. I wanted to answer Kathy's question about is this a new question, and the answer is no. In the original draft from the co-chairs, it was a second part to the question above it, and it seemed to me that they were two completely different things, and therefore it made sense to make it a different question. So it's not new text at all. It's text that came from the co-chairs.
Got it. Thank you, Susan. All right, and I see Christine's hand. Christine, please go ahead.
Thanks. This is Christine. I wanted to address Kathy's point as far as question number four. The first half, as we recall, is listed as one of the trademark the claim subteams questions. So to the extent that we're planning to get to all of those questions before we get here, which should hopefully be asked and answered, we have the express question of the trademark claim service. What's working, what's not working, how many are going 60, how many are going longer, or 30, how many are going longer, should it be longer, should it be shorter? All of those questions are scheduled to be answered before we get to these. So I think that the first part of number four, in theory, should be answered already. And so the only point, and maybe this was Susan's comment in the margin, which is to bifurcate it to the newer question. What has their experience been in terms of exact matches generated beyond that mandatory period? I'm going to go out on a limb as a registry operator and say that that's probably data that the registry operators don't collect, unless you maybe registrars would have that. But I'm not, yeah, we can ask it, I suppose, but I don't know that we're going to get an answer to it. Thanks.
Got it. Thank you, Christine. I'm a fan of not asking redundant questions. Can we have a cue on the suggestion that we cut out the part that will be answered at part of question four that will already be answered, and slimming down this question to ask the second half? Any objections to doing that? David, I see your hands up. David, please go ahead.
Thanks, Paul. David McCullough here. I have no objection to that, but I also think that it might be in our interest to coordinate with the other subgroups and the main group? Because I know on Wednesday night's call this week, there was discussion about asking registries, and I come from the registry group, questions. Rather than send five or three or four or six or whatever sets of questions, we ought to try and send one if it's at all possible. Thanks.
Thanks, David. A good point, and I'm glad that Kathy and Phil are on the line because I think that's slightly above my pay grade, but I do believe that you're right that coordinating these efforts may make some sense in terms of how many questions we send. That having been said, we're starting so much later than everybody else that I would hate to see the work of those other groups who were formed earlier, be held up. But I will leave that to, I guess, the co-chairs who make those kinds of decisions. So I don't see any objection to reformulating question four a bit. Could it now read, for registry operators that extend the trademark claim service beyond the required 90 days, comma, what has been their experience in terms of exact matches generated beyond the mandatory period, question mark? Does that, Christina might put you on the spot, but does that help out? Is that the kind of slimming down rather than asking how many, but just focusing it on the experience question?
Hi, this is Christine. I think so. I'm one that does a lot better when I read something, but from what I heard, yes, that sounds better. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Christine. Okay. Any objections to the reformulating question four along those lines? Okay. Well, like a gambler,
like a gambler,
okay. Kathy said, hit the jackpot. Yeah, sometimes you have to know when to quit, right? And we're making such good speed here. I hate to move on to question five almost out of fear that we'll get hung up. But let's do that. Let's forge ahead because we have time. Question number five. How does use of the blocking services affect the utilization of other RPMs, especially Sunrise registrations? And presumably that's the DPML-like services. How does the use of those kinds of services affect utilization of the other RPMs, especially Sunrise registrations? And I guess presumably the question, it seems like the question sort of self-answers, which is if I'm a brand owner and if I've used a DPML-like mechanism to block registration by third parties, it seems like I would be less concerned about also buying a Sunrise registration. Perhaps that's not the only thought there. Any reactions to question number five? I'll open a queue on that. Okay, everybody thinks, okay, here's a hand. Christine, please go ahead.
Thanks. This is Christine for the record. I don't object to the question at all. In fact, I just wanted to make a statement that this question is really the overarching question for the whole reason for the subteam. I mean, this is why we even started the subteam, is because we were trying to figure out how, what the relationship was and the effect of these other additional marketplaces on the RPMs that we are investigating or here to investigate. But I wanted to mention the main reason I piped up is to say, again, where we're substituting the words additional marketplace RPMs, right? So private offering, blocking services, I think we want staff probably, this is my suggestion, to go through and make sure that any place the old wording, the old terminology was used. I'm going to ask staff maybe, if you don't mind, Paul, if they go through and actually just make those updates so that we have the consistent terminology throughout. Thanks.
Thanks, Christine. That is a fabulous idea. Much appreciated. Kurt, I see your hands up. Please go ahead.
I think Christine's right, but I just want to be, and you know, I'll get all the right terminology wrong, but I just want to make sure that, you know, blocking services in particular, you know, would might have a very specific effect on Sunrise registrations, and so we definitely want to answer that question. So if we're replacing blocking services by another word that means blocking services, that's fine. But if we're replacing blocking services by a word that means, you know, alternative RPMs in general, then I don't, then I wouldn't be for that, because I really want to know the answer to this question.
Thanks, so Kurt.
Maybe Christine can, maybe Christine can respond.
Thanks, Kurt. Christine, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Happy to respond, Kurt. This is Christine. Thanks. I'm with you. I do agree that that was why I kind of produced a caveat at the beginning of my statement, which is that the question five as written is the reason we're here. I was trying to be sensitive to the fact that the group had was very, very insistent about making sure that we had good terminology, and so I wanted to make sure that that was filtered through. But I'm not, I mean, if anybody in the group feels strongly that blocking services is, it's particularly important to call out blocking services here, that's fine, because this data is the precise data that we're looking to get. How does what's out there impact the thing we're supposed to actually be looking at here? So that's, I just want to make sure that I threw that out there. So I'm totally happy to take other people's suggestions that maybe we do need to leave it here, but then we need to talk about that, because there was a huge discussion about making sure that we use the correct, you know, additional marketplace RPMs category. I'm so happy to have further discussion on that.
Thanks, Christine. All right. Kurt, your hand is still up. Is that an old hand or a new hand? Old hand. Okay, Susan, your hand's up. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to respond to that. And I think Kurt is right. I mean, I'm a little confused about what are additional marketplace RPMs, if you know what I mean, because we obviously, there may be things that none of us know about. Most of us think of the DPML and the like, but we're also, I know within our remit, the extended claims that the TMCH is offering beyond the 90 days is also within scope. And so it does mean that this is a question about the blocking mechanisms, or perhaps, as I put in the chat, perhaps we actually should use the term protected marks list for the purposes of this specific question, because that's as Christine says, exactly why we're here. This is what we need to be answering.
So thank you, Susan. I guess I have a question then. Do we know of providers that have blocking mechanisms beyond donuts? And if so, do they also call them protected marks list, or do they call them something else? If there's a universal term of art that everybody's using, then I think protected marks list is fine. But if not, I think we may have to use a more generic phrase to capture things. Does anyone know the answer to that question? Okay. I don't see any response to that in the chat. So what if we said
Paul, doesn't Radix offer one? I'm just checking to see. Does Radix offer? Sorry, this is Christine. I'm just looking to see. I thought it was Radix also, but I could be wrong.
Right. So Mary says, I believe they all use some form of protected marks list, donuts, MMX, and right side.
Okay, maybe that's what I was thinking of. Yeah, sorry.
Okay, so if they're using protected marks list, and that's what people will recognize, then I think that that's fine then. So how about question five would now read, how does use of protected marks list services affect the utilization of other RPMs, especially Sunrise registrations? How does that sound to everybody? Any objections to that tweak? Susan says Minds and Machines has protected marks list. Kathy suggests private protected marks list, but I'm not sure what a private protected mark is. I understand that we're trying to say it's an additional marketplace RPM, but I think in this context, adding the word private, from my point of view, makes it more confusing. Susan says we don't need private. Susan says there aren't private. Kathy, how strongly do you feel about the word private? Because if you don't feel strongly about it, then I think we have a question five that we most of us seem to be able to live with. Kathy, your hand's up. Please go ahead.
Hi, Paul. I think blocking lists, and again, I'm trying to think about, you know, the 100 people who are members of the working group who don't live and breathe this. And I think blocking lists is something everybody understands, and it's kind of a universal generic term. But once we go into protected marks lists, capital P, capital M, capital L, there's almost a sense of conveying that. And frankly, it almost looks like a consensus policy, and it's not. So how do we convey that this is, you know, these are part of the private mechanisms that have been created, the private RPMs, and that's why I recommend inserting the word private. Thanks.
Well, Susan, I see your hands up. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. I really don't like the term private because it suggests that they're secret in some way, and we all know that they're not. I mean, they're open to you know, they're available to all to acquire, you know, the block for one to the book. But I'm sure somewhere or other we've probably used the term protected marks list and then put in brackets something like i.e. blocking services. We could even say registry specific protected marks list or something like that if it helps. But I do also feel that there are, you know, this area has a number of terms of art. And to be honest, if people are on a working group and they want to review and suggest amendments to them, I think they have a duty to educate themselves as well. So I don't think we should always be assuming that no one knows what they're talking about. I think we have to use terminology that's clear.
Thank you, Susan. We got a plus one for Susan on that comment. Kathy says Susan's expansions are fine. So what if it read, how does use of the, what do we say here, protected marks list, open parentheses, e.g. blocking services, close parentheses, affect the utilization of other RPMs, comma, especially Sunrise registrations. Does that do it? Kathy says yes. Rebecca says yes. Susan Payne says, I think so. Okay. David says yes. All right. So staff, can you please capture that concept? And again, we'll swing back around next week and take a look at how it reads once we see it on paper. But I think that's what we're trying to accomplish here today. I think it probably matches everybody's needs pretty well. Okay. Last call on question five. Like I said, we'll read it again next week in its revised form. But last call today on question five. Okay. Now here's the tricky part. Question six, proposal. There's a proposal to delete question six. And as I look at question six, it's sort of two things occur to me. One is that it sort of takes us on a different conceptual track than what we've been dealing with before, because we've talked a lot about the specific mechanisms and how they work. And this has to do with, question six has to do with ICANN approval. process. And so that's sort of thought number one. I think that we could more easily leap from question five to question seven if we want to stay on a good pace. And then issue number two is plumbing some murky depths that we have to decide whether or not the question will stay in, first of all. And if the question is going to stay in, then we have to dive into the question. And I suspect that Jonathan Nevitt, who is not able to be with us on this call due to vacation, would have some thoughts on this, and I don't want to have him miss his chance if this question stays in. So what I'll do is I'll ask, is there any objection for us to put question six in the queue for the next call, but move on to question number seven today in the hopes that we can knock out one more in the 17 minutes we have left? Purely meant to be traffic control, not meant to affect any outcomes. I see a green check marks from Susan, green check mark from Christine, Steve, David. Kathy says sure. Okay, great. Okay, so let's put question six then on the front burner for next week, and let's jump into question number seven. And I think with 16 minutes left, maybe we can make question number seven our goal and see if we can finish it off. We're setting a new land speed record. All right, question number seven. Where a rights holder uses a blocking service for one class of goods or services, are they able to block another rights holder who holds the same trademark but for a different class or classes of goods or services? I see two hands up on this one, Christine and Susan. Christine, you're up first. Can please go ahead.
Thank you. This is Christine. I propose that if we keep this, first of all, question seven is subsumed in question three. It's part of the rules. So once you identify the rules for participating in the private, the additional marketplace RPMs, then you know the answer to question seven once you understand all the rules. I think the question's redundant. However, if there are people in this group that want to make sure that we specifically call out this question is of particular importance for some reason, then my second proposal is that you move question seven up under question three as a sub question, because that's logically where it would flow as part of the investigation of the rules. Thank you.
Thanks, Christine. Susan, please go ahead.
Actually, I was just about to put my hand down what Christine said. Plus also, I guess we need to have standardized terminology. We've got blocking service in there again, but I'm assuming that will get picked up by staff, please.
Thank you. Okay. Any other comments on question number seven? Any objection to question numbers? Oh, Mary, your hand's up. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Paul. This is Mary from staff. So just a note of information, really, that at the time when some of these offerings were first brought to market, I think there were some questions around what the rules and the scope were. But from the research that we've done, it would seem that the answer to these questions, insofar as they're factual for question seven, the various providers actually have given some clearer information. So if we do subsume it under question three, that's probably somewhere that we can put the factual information that we now know. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Mary. I see in the chat that Phil says consolidating three and seven seem reasonable. Christine says plus one, Mary, all the facts. Any objection to consolidating questions three and seven? Rebecca notes we could use an EG again. So in other words, the way that we made it more clear under question five, what we meant by blocking services, if we could mirror that language in question seven, which then becomes part of question three. Okay. Steve Levy says favor consolidation, but not deleting. Thanks, Steve. I think that's sort of a, I hate to use the consensus word, but I think that's sort of where the drift is going on this one. And I do think it's an interesting call out. Okay. All right. So we have dispatched question 7 in its entirety and have consolidated it with question number 3. And we did all that, guys, in 4 minutes. I'm very proud of us. Last call on question 7 before we move on to question 8. Okay. Staff, I hope you're capturing all this great work. Thank you for your constant support of us. We have 12 minutes. Dare we do it? Dare we forge on to question number 8? I vote we do. Okay. I see some funny comments in the chat about Jeff Newman spoiling question number 8 before we even got there. All right, question number 8. Do all registry operators use the valid SMD file contained in the TMCH database as a condition of using DPML services? First question of 8. How would registry operators verify trademarks to provide these services if they did not use the TMCH? I see Christine's hands up. Christine, please go ahead.
Thank you, Paul. This is Christine, as I predicted in the chat. Same comment. The first question in number 8 should go consolidate with number 3. It's all related. That's going to be listed in the rules for that registry operator if they're relying on a valid SMD file. You could probably include the second half on how would they verify trademarks. In the other part that talks, and I believe it's question 2, that says, could registry operators provide the same or similar additional marketplace services without access? And so then, you know, that second set, that second half would get rolled up into that. Then how would they verify the trademarks if they didn't use the TMCH? That would all be rolled up together. So I think you can consolidate 8A with 3 and 8B with 2. Thank you.
Thanks, Christine. Jeff, help me understand your text. I'm not in favor of mixing factual questions with subjective ones.
Sorry, this is Jeff. Can you guys hear me? So what I'm saying is, doing what Christine asked is the right thing to do. I think that would not have the factual question number 3 mixed with a subjective one of asking how a hypothetical. So I'm good.
Perfect. Thank you, Jeff. Any objections to splitting question number 8 up, as Christine suggests, and putting them in the various places above? David says no objection. Jeff says agree with Christine. Kathy earlier said plus 1, Christine, so I take that as agreement. Last call for objections on splitting up question number 8. Steve, I see your hand. Please go ahead.
Just more of a quick question. Christine mentioned that this would certainly be contained in the rules. I just want to make sure that that's the case. Would the rules of a particular registry include how they use the SMD file? Would it just be like, this is what you need in order to use our blocking service? So as long as the premise is sound that they would mention whether or not they use the SMD file, then I would agree with the proposal splitting this up.
Thank you, Steve. Christine, your hand's up.
Hi, this is Christine. Just to respond to Steve, the DPML rules that I've read do indicate to the brand owner whether or not they need to provide a valid SMD file. And so the question is, do the registry operators use a valid SMD file? And I believe the answer is yes, because the ones I have read indicate whether or not a valid SMD file is required. I can't tell you the answer right now because I don't remember if the answer is yes or no, but I can tell you that the rules indicate whether one is required.
Thank you, Christine. Jeff Newman says it is for donuts, MMX, and Right Side. Kurt says, I'm sorry, where are we putting the second half of number 8? Does it belong with number 2? Christine suggested that we put the second half of number 8 under... was under number 2, right, Christine, at the end?
Yes, sir.
All right. Mary says, 8A to Q3, 8B to Q2. I feel like it's a chess game. Okay. All right. Then Kurt says, then plus 1, Christine. B to K. All right. We're having a lot of fun now in the chat. I have to say, out of all the various groups and subgroups I'm participating on, this one is really quite a bit of fun, and I appreciate all the humor in the chat and the happy tone when we speak to each other. It's been terrific. Well, folks, I hate to throw away 6 perfectly good minutes, but we've accomplished so much that I think that we should call it a day. Everybody can have 5 minutes back, and we can be proud of today's call. Staff, thank you for sticking with us on this. Mary has her hand up. Mary, any closing comments?
Hi, Paul. I noticed Kathy has her hand up as well.
I'm sorry.
I'll go after Kathy. How's that?
Perfect. Kathy, I'm so sorry about that. Kathy, please go ahead.
Oh, not at all, Paul. I'm having some connectivity problems on the Adobe. So I wanted to again reiterate and see if we could move the deleted number 2 to the bottom so that we don't lose this. If it didn't have to do with transparency, I wouldn't be making a big deal of it. But Rebecca proposed some good language, and I don't want to lose it. So is there any way we can put old or deleted number 2 at the bottom and come back to it at the end?
Yeah, Kathy, I have no objection to that. I think that the
great, thanks.
I think that the goal isn't to pass over anything that doesn't need we want to make sure everything gets its full attention. So I have no objection to that. That way, we'll make people feel like we're for sure to get to it. That seems fine with me.
That sounds good, and I'm not going to make any jokes about Passover. Okay, thanks.
Oh. Overlook anything. There you go. All right. Mary, your hand's up. Please go ahead.
Yes, and it's just a brief note for the team that as you complete the review and the edits of these questions, one thing to consider is possibly reordering them where it's logical. I know we've already started to do that with some of the questions, but in particular with the overarching type of question, and Christine noted one today, it may be helpful to make that more explicit in the final document that we prepare. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Mary. That does make a lot of sense. And, for example, I personally thought that the proposed to be deleted question number 6 was not in its right spot because it's right in the middle of questions that are fairly operational as opposed to questions that have more to do with ICANN approval processes. And so I do think that that's a great suggestion, and we should keep that in mind, especially as we are, breaking up questions and re-adding them in other places, that we, when we're done, that we look back and say, okay, are all these in the correct order on their various themes? Okay. Well, thanks, everybody. You have 3 extra minutes. Use it wisely, and I look forward to speaking with you on other calls between now and next Friday and certainly on next Friday morning. Thanks so much. We should stop the recording.